I've got a question as we get started here this evening. Has there ever been a time in your life when you have really, really enjoyed going to church? When you just really enjoyed it? All right. Okay, I see several hands up. Good. Has there ever been a time in your life when you have not enjoyed going to church? Let's just be honest. I've got my hand up. All right. All right, there's definitely those times where you just don't look forward to it. What is the difference between those two times? Let's just take a moment to kind of holler out some answers here. What is it about those times in your life that you've really enjoyed going to church that you just look back and say, you know what, I can target. I know I was looking forward to going to church because of that thing. Anybody? Okay, the day you accepted Christ. Good. Right, that was exciting. Dan? Oh, spiritual video. Okay, a movie. Okay, good. Good, something you were looking forward to. Who else? I heard somebody else say something. Okay, yeah, you had a responsibility in the service. Oh, I know, I've been blessed sometimes when your family would get up there and sing, Kevin. Maybe is that the time you're thinking of? Maybe not. Because there sit the two of you with no girls sitting around you now. And I remember some of these Sunday evenings when your family would be up there singing, and that you're looking forward to that opportunity to serve. That's great. Yeah. Okay, yeah, just your attitude, just having the right attitude. Who else? Okay, yeah, so maybe sometimes just in your own life when just the personal need was really there, I need to be with other believers. Good. Nathan?
When my heart was right with the Lord, so I was desiring to know the Lord.
Yeah, definitely some of those times when it's just like you have a thirst for it, right? And you know things are right with God and you're just looking forward to being there. I know for me some of the times have been when maybe there's somebody in the church or somebody who I've invited to church who I'm just seeing them growing. I'm seeing God do a work in their life. And then you just look forward to being there because you know that when you see them, they're going to get blessed that day. It's exciting. And I get excited about that for other people too. Anybody else? Times that you've looked forward? Don, pass it up. Yeah, sometimes the subject matter is something that's very near and dear to us. And we are looking forward to being there because we know that it's what we need to hear. Yeah, you know, I think of all of those different things. And what we'll talk about here in just a moment tonight, I think will be an encouragement to us because it's, I think, a springboard into what we want to try to do this summer. But let's just flip the coin over for a moment and ask ourselves the opposite side of that question. You don't have to answer for yourself, but you can answer for somebody else maybe around you. When was a time that somebody you know didn't enjoy or look forward to coming to church? Okay, yeah, when there's another believer that there's a problem between you and them and you know, okay, if I go, this sounds silly, right? But I'm going to make sure I park in that parking lot because I know they park in the other parking lot. I'm going to make sure I go in that door because I know they come in that door. And I'm going to make sure I sit on that side because I know they sit on that side. And if they go out to the bathroom, I'm going to make sure I stay in. It's like you playing your whole service, your whole Sunday around not running into that other person. That makes for a kind of a miserable Sunday. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to going to church. Good. Other people, Matt? Yeah. When the cares of this life usurp our love for Christ, that's, oh man, when our love for the world gets in the way. And sometimes it's not just the love for the naughty things of the world, but just like you said, the cares of this life. There are things that we have to carry on in life, and sometimes those burdens get just a little heavy, and instead of taking those burdens to Calvary, we just carry them ourselves. Dan? Maybe when we hear stuff we don't want to hear. I'm not even going to make a comment on that, something I noticed as I drove by down the street. There are churches these days where you can go and you will not walk away or out of that church service feeling ashamed or guilty or anything like that. Sometimes we need to come to church and hear that and we don't want it. So that's good. Who else?
I think when people feel uncomfortable because they're always
Yeah. Yeah. Loneliness, the loss of a spouse, or perhaps even just things that are going on in your life. And sin always separates. And so let's just put sin out there as well. Sin is something that always divides us and wants to keep us apart. Good. Anybody else want to mention something on that? Jeannie?
You had a very busy week and you're extremely tired.
Yes. Just physical weariness. Yeah. I would put that right up at the top of the list sometimes. You know what? Church is great and all, but man, it just would be nice just to relax for that hour. There are a lot of things that can keep us from coming to church. Dana. Yes. When the kids are misbehaving in the car on the way to church. I will turn this car around and go back home right now. And they get worse. Yes. That never happened in our house, did it? Well, what we want to look at tonight in Scripture is a time when people looked forward to going to church so much that they went every day. I mean, if you're going to go every day, you probably ought to enjoy it or get paid for it, right? Kind of like going to work. The church in Acts, when it first started, met on a daily basis. And we're going to see that in Acts chapter 2 here in just a moment. But before we get there, I want to just briefly set the setting for you, set the table for you as to what all was going on. And I want to just pull out some certain things out of this passage. And this is not going to be an expositional message on Acts chapters 1 and 2. There's a lot there. But I just want to point out a few different things, I think, that will help us as we are looking forward to some things this summer on our Sunday evenings. And my desire, as somebody who's been tasked with the responsibility of coming up with our summer Sunday evening schedule, has been to create something that really puts a thirst and a desire in our hearts where we say, I want to be there on Sunday evenings in the summer. Something that I just look forward to and I enjoy coming to be a part of it. And so here in Acts, of course, the book of Acts begins with us understanding that Jesus is there with the disciples. This is right after the resurrection has taken place. And Jesus has had several different times that he's appeared in a bodily form after the resurrection to people. And, of course, we find now Jesus with the disciples. And the disciples come together in verse 6. They asked of him, saying, Lord, is it now? Is this the time that you're going to restore your kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which our Father hath put in his own power. So the question that they asked him is it, this is what we have been looking forward to so much. Is it that time? And Jesus just says, no, it's not the time for you to know all of those things. But he doesn't stop his answer right there. He continues on with what we see in Acts 1:8. But you shall be witnesses, or you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Again, this is a passage that many of you are familiar with. I just want to point out the very last thing Jesus says before leaving his disciples is an answer to their question. Is this that really special time that we are looking forward to? And he says, it's not for you to know those things, but I can tell you, this is what's going to happen. Right? There's something special. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And when that happens, you are going to be witnesses for me here in Jerusalem, out in Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. And so Jesus leaves them with that. He's caught up in the cloud, and he's gone from their sight. Now the disciples, of course, they remain there in Jerusalem. And as we get into Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost occurs. And of course, the Holy Spirit does come and indwell them and empower them. Peter gets up and preaches a message there in Jerusalem, and thousands of people repent and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And let's look at now, if you would, in verse number 41. All right? It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we know this to be the start of the church. Right? This is it. We are reading about the birth of the church. Right? Births are exciting times. tells us that that day 3,000 souls were added to the church. And I want us to look at verses 42 through 47, and we're going to try to pick out a few things here from this passage that I want to be an encouragement to us, because as we see the birth of the church, there are certain things that took place that brought about a certain result. All right, so let's read this passage and then see if we can pick those things out. Verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly," or this was a regular habit for them, "in the apostles' doctrine," or teaching, "and in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." When you read this passage, doesn't this just burst over with excitement? As you read this, can't you just almost feel it coming out of the pages? Like, wow, there was a lot going on here. These people loved going to church, right? Now, clearly, going to church was a whole different thing. This is brand new to them. What was going to church? Well, they would go to the temple, it tells us in this passage, and they would meet and worship there in the temple. But what else did they do? They met together. And what was the result of that? They met together in people's homes. They probably met together at restaurants. They met together all over the place. It was a daily thing. I was just kind of like every day, hey, this is, they were excited. And I want us to see especially, it says at the end of verse 46, they ate their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart. I see two things there, the results of what all was going on. There was joy. And there was unity. And as I see those two things, I think, you know what? That's what I want for this church. That's what I want for this body of believers. You know, they didn't have a church building that they went to. They would go to the temple. But this, the beginning of the church, was simply a group of believers that loved to meet together. They loved to get together. And there was great joy. You know, I asked earlier, were there times in your life when you looked forward to coming to church, when you enjoyed it, right? Here at the early church, they had that. Now, we can very easily say, this isn't the early church, right? We're the old church, right? We've been around for a long time, right? The early church is long gone. There are things here in this passage that don't apply to us today. But I want to suggest to you that there are a lot of things in this passage that do apply to us today. And we're going to try to, this summer, put several of those things into practice in very specific ways. So let's pick out just a few things here briefly. It says in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So one of the things that was a regular part of their meeting was the teaching of God's Word. And I love it that that's the very first thing that's mentioned here. They got together to study the Word of God. And that's something that we want to make sure we have every Sunday night here at Calvary, that there will be a time of studying God's Word. When it says it's the apostles' doctrine, the apostles were the ones doing the teaching. Right? It wasn't their particular doctrine. It was what Jesus Christ had taught them. They were simply communicating the same truth that Jesus had taught them, and they were now sharing that with others. However, were there also new revelations that were taking place to the apostles? Absolutely. Right? They didn't have the New Testament. They were the ones that wrote it. And so they were sharing things that God had revealed to them, and the whole church age was just something that was just getting started. Right? They didn't know how to do church. But the apostles were there teaching on a regular basis. So teaching is one element that can bring about joy and unity in the church. It also says that they continued in fellowship. Now it mentions specifically breaking of bread and in prayers, and a lot of commentators kind of unite those together. And just for the sake of what we're doing over the course of this summer, we're going to split that up a little bit. Obviously there's great fellowship in worshiping together. There's great fellowship in praying together. There's great fellowship in eating together. So fellowship is one of those things, and our church has what we like to call koinonia nights, right? And we'll be talking about that here in just a little bit. But the importance of fellowship, and I think some of you mentioned when we were talking about things that you enjoyed when it was coming to church, you enjoyed getting together with other believers. You enjoyed seeing other people that God had done a work in their life. You enjoyed just being around people. Maybe, you know, all week long you've been in the world and you just look forward to not being in the world, being in a place where people love you and support you and encourage you and want to help you instead of tear you down. Right? Fellowship is really a vital, important thing. So there was regular fellowship. It also says in the breaking of bread, right? And again, commentators will say, well, some of that perhaps was communion, but it was also probably fellowship, because we see it mentioned again later in the passage that they went from house to house breaking bread, and they did so with gladness. And so there are times when fellowship is just getting together around food. And I think that clearly the early church must have been Baptist, because as Baptists, we are good at getting together around food. And I think that's what they did here in Acts chapter 2. So part of fellowship, just taking time in people's houses, right? Not just at the church, but taking time to fellowship brings about joy and unity. But also, it says, and in prayers. Have you ever thought about that before? How prayer can bring joy, and how prayer can bring unity? I love it when I'm talking with somebody, and maybe we're talking about something that's heavy, and then they just say this simple thing, hey, can we pray together about that? You're like, yeah, yeah, we actually probably should have started with that, shouldn't we? And then you pray together, and afterwards, it's not usually just a handshake. What do you, maybe I'm weird, but what do I do usually, those of you I've prayed with? What do I do after I pray with you or you pray with me? There's usually a hug involved, right? Why? I don't know why. It feels like the right thing to do. Because prayer brings unity. Prayer brings about that joy. It's, you know, we're together in this. And prayer is such a vital part of things that the early church did that brought them together. And it's something that can bring us together as well. Of course, as we go on, we see that in verse 43, it says that fear came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And this is where you say, oh, Pastor Mark, that was the early church and we don't have the apostles around today doing signs and wonders. But I do have a question for you. What is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did? Resurrection, right? What is the greatest miracle that could ever be done today? You could say a physical resurrection. That would be pretty amazing. But I think back to that time when the lame man was let down through the roof by his friends, and he's let down at the feet of Jesus in that house, and Jesus looks at him and says, son, your sins are forgiven you. What was Jesus saying there? Hey, you have a really serious need. You have sin, and it needs to be forgiven. And of course, the religious leaders say, that's terrible. Only God can forgive sins. This is blasphemy. Of course, they didn't say it out loud, but Jesus knew their thoughts. And he says, well, which is easier to say to this lame man, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? See, both of those are incredible miracles. One of them was very visible. The other was really, really important, because having his sins forgiven was what set him in a right relationship with God. And even though we may not live in the age of the apostles with all the miracles that we find in the New Testament here in Acts and other things, I would suggest to you that God still does miracles even today when he changes a person's heart, when he changes a life. And I would suggest to you that how exciting would it be to come to church with that friend that you've been sharing the gospel with, and to sit down next to them as God's word is opened and they hear the preaching of God's word and they say, oh, I never saw this before. And they're underlining their Bible or they're taking notes. And afterwards they say, hey, I got some questions for you. Can we go get coffee together? So in the preaching today, I heard this. Now, what is that really? I know the preacher said it, but I don't understand that. Have any of you ever had that opportunity to sit down with somebody like that? Oh, I love doing that. One of my favorite things. I will sit down for hours just to talk about the questions that people may have about God's word. It's exciting. And you know what? That is a miracle. And it sure is fun when we have the privilege of seeing the miracle that God does in people's hearts and lives. the miracle of salvation, the miracle of spiritual growth, the miracle of changed lives. So yes, we're not the early church, as we see in verse 43. But verse 44, it says, all that believed were together and had all things common. There was great unity as this church came and worshiped together. So much unity that verse 45 says people sold their possessions and goods and they shared these things with others who had needs. What a great unity in that church. And you know, I can say this, I've seen that displayed here at Calvary Baptist Church time after time after time. But part of being able to help meet needs is this. You have to know what the needs are. And how do you get to know what needs are? You got to be talking to people, right? Or follow them on Facebook. But we have to have that fellowship. We have to have those times that we rub shoulders, that we share with people. I was tremendously blessed this past week by somebody who's sitting here tonight, so I'm not even going to say all of the details, but they asked me a specific question, and I answered that question very honestly, and they said, I'd like to help you meet that need. That's Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord. And you know what? That's what it ought to be about, but that doesn't happen if we're not together. And so those times when sin is in our lives, those times when loneliness occurs, we don't know what other people may be struggling with. We don't know what they may be going on in their lives. We have to be getting together and rubbing shoulders with people. That's something that we want to see here at Calvary Baptist Church. And it says in verse 46 that they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I would also just like to suggest to you that a church that is full of joyful and unified people won't just be a church that meets on Sunday. It'll be a church that the members, the body of that church, will be together throughout the week. It'll be a church that is getting together, looking for opportunities, looking for ways. And it may not be the formal church services, but it will be individual believers looking for others with whom they can fellowship and with whom they can encourage and share the Word of God and pray together. And those are the things that tells us, as all of this was taking place, there was great gladness and singleness of heart, unity. And what was the result of that? They praised God in verse 47. They had favor with all people. And it's interesting, I tried to research this, because when I looked at that and read it, it said, favor with all people. Was this just within the church, or was this without the church as well? Was this in the whole city of Jerusalem? And I don't have a good answer for you except to say this. The word that's used there for people is, it's just a Greek word that means a gathering, a group of people. And it's a word that was often used of all of Israel or all of Jerusalem, or it was a very large word of all the people. And here in this passage, it says they had favor with all the people. And I would suggest, especially at this point, that there were probably a lot of people there in Jerusalem who were not Christians yet, but we know because it tells us the very next sentence, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm going to suggest that all people that had favor toward the Christians also included many unbelievers. People who were curious, hey, what's going on? Hey, you guys are really happy. In fact, you're kind of weirdly happy. I'm oddly attracted to that. You know, what are you guys doing when you get together? I see you've got people coming over to your house all the time. What's going on? What do you guys talk about? A curiosity, a desire to know, hey, is this something I need to know about? Could I get involved in this? And there was favor with all the people. And of course, we see God blessing that and God adding to the church daily such as should be saved. It's our desire here at Calvary that we be a church that people enjoy coming to church. And yes, your toes will get stepped on sometimes. The preaching of God's Word will do that. We can't promise a guilt-free experience. We can't promise that there will never be shame, because in fact, if we promise that, we would be going against what God's Word says. But I can tell you this, that when we see these elements all coming together, there is just naturally a sense of joy and unity that is built. And that's what we want to do over the course of this summer. The ushers have some of these wonderful green sheets of paper, and I don't know if they're going to hand these out. I think we can pick them up afterwards, but many of you have them already. Wonderful. All right. This is our summer Sunday schedule for the evenings, and so if your family wants to keep a hold of this, I know you're probably not going to plan your summer around this, but when you are here, I hope that this gives you something to look forward to participating in. We've just kind of listed the schedule there for June, July, and August, but I want to point out why we have themed five different types of nights throughout the summer. All right, the first one you'll see is community night. Now, this is different than something that we have done before. Right? Our community nights are happening three different times over the course of this summer. One of those being next week when we have church planter Jeremy Vandelender and his family here with us. And they're out in Austin, Texas. In July, we have Stephen West, who is also a church planter out in Las Vegas, Nevada. He and his family will be here with us. And then August 5th, we're actually going to have our teens sharing that evening in a youth service. And our intern, our summer intern, who you were introduced to in the announcement video today, Mitch Stinson, is going to be sharing with us. But you say, well, what does that have to do with community night, having our teens have a youth service? Well, I guess we'll tell you later, but I will say this. Every Wednesday afternoon, our teens meet and go door to door through our community. So they're doing a little bit of what we're going to be talking about on these community nights. I asked the question here on this sheet, if you were called to start a new church in Midland, what would you do to get that church started? Well, you'd have to get out in the community and start connecting with people, right? I haven't seen any ads in the newspaper or online for, you know, church for hire. Hey, if you need a congregation, you can rent this one for only $750 a week. You know, I don't think that exists. If you want to have a church congregation, you got to go out and get people. And where do you get people? You've got to make connections with people. If you are a church planter moving to Austin, Texas, how do you start a church in Austin, Texas or Las Vegas, Nevada? So we're going to hear from Jeremy Vandelender. We're going to hear from Stephen West, these men who are missionary pastors who are out doing this very thing. And I've asked both of them already if they could be thinking about sharing with us, what are some of the strategies that they used to connect with people in their community so that God could do the work of building their church? You say, well, what does that have to do with what we read in Acts chapter 2? I simply would suggest it has to do more with what we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Midland is our Jerusalem. This is where we live and operate and work. And we saw at the end of the passage that there was favor with all the people, I believe, in the city of Jerusalem about what God was doing. And whether people come to Calvary or not, they ought to at least know that there are people here at Calvary that love them, that care about them, that care about our community. People here at Calvary that obviously love God. And that this is a place where they can come and find people who will welcome and help them with their problems in life. And so that's kind of the purpose of our community nights. As we go through those services, we'll hear from those missionaries who will be reporting to us. We'll hear from the teens as they report to us in August. And then toward the end of that service, when we wrap things up about 10 till 7, we're going to take time then just to split up into small groups and talk about how we, meaning specifically you and you and you, what can you do tonight or what can you do this week to reach into our community. And perhaps it's a neighbor. I already have a plan for one of our neighbors. We got some new neighbors. They moved in toward the end of the summer, last summer, and we've said hey to them a couple times, but we've never gotten together with them. So one of these nights, we're going to be inviting our neighbors to come over because the service will be done at 7 o'clock, and after that, we'll be heading home, and we'll fire up the grill, and we'll invite our neighbors to come on over. We'll do that before, but we'll plan on getting together with them on one of those Sunday nights. Why? Because that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to have an outreach into our community. And you've got to rub shoulders with people to know what their needs are. And so we'll be taking time to talk about what we can do to reach our community. If you flip the sheet over onto the back, you'll see the Koinonia nights that are listed there. And that's the Greek word for fellowship. And again, many of you are familiar with that because we did Koinonia nights last year as well. But we have three of those scheduled over the course of this summer. And those services will end even earlier. We're at 6:45. Those services are done. So that would be like right now. We'd be finishing up because the purpose of Koinonia Nights is we're going to get together and be challenged with God's Word, but then we are going to really get together in fellowship. And so I hope that on those particular nights, you will make it a point of even planning it ahead of time, right? Be thinking and praying about who could we get together and fellowship with. The easy thing is to always just fellowship with your friends. You know, oh yeah, we haven't gotten together for, well, it's been a week since we got together with them. Let's just get together again. All right? Plan on getting together with some others here in our church. Maybe some cross-generational fellowship. That means older people and younger people. Right? Maybe some people that are just across the auditorium. Right? They always sit on that side and you sit on that side. All right, let's look for some ways that we can fellowship and get together. You can do that here. You can go out somewhere else. You can invite people over to your home. But Koinonia Nights throughout the summer. We also have two of our church family nights scheduled. Again, this is something we did last summer, and I enjoyed it. I don't know if all of you did, but we'll get together out on the ball field or down in the gym, and we'll just play some games and have a good time of refreshments and fellowship and just kind of laughing and playing together. Even if you don't want to play games, you can come and make fun of the people that are playing. But we'll just have a good time of just being together as a church. And so, church family nights. And then, of course, something that we mentioned earlier, we have two different prayer nights scheduled. And I know sometimes when churches have prayer meetings, prayer meeting can become, well, we go to church and the preacher can't ever keep it short. And so there ends up being a 45-minute message and then we pray for 5 minutes at the end. That's not what we're doing on these prayer nights. Our goal on these prayer nights is to come and meet together, to sing a song or two. Obviously, we can have our offering because that's a really important thing, that we worship God through our tithes and offerings. And then we'll have a verse, one verse of Scripture about prayer. We'll share that, but take about 5 minutes. And then from that point on, it's going to be a time of very specific prayer where we'll say, hey, here's a topic that's really important for us. And so Pastor James will be leading the night in July. I'll be leading the night in August. But we'll introduce a topic and we'll share a little bit about that topic. I don't want to get ahead of myself with that because we already have plans in mind. We'll share a little bit about that topic and then we'll say, okay, now for the next 7 minutes, we're going to pray about this specific topic. And you're going to get together in groups and you're going to pray. And we'll have a timer going up on the screen. And when the end of that 7 minutes is up, we'll come and say, now, next topic. Here's the next thing we want to pray about. And so we're going to just spend that entire evening service just in corporate prayer as a body of believers, getting together and praying and going and talking to God. I'll tell you what, you might end up hugging some people afterwards. So if you're hugophobic, find people with no arms to pray with. That's my advice to you. You still need to be here and be praying. But I think those prayer nights will be a really special time as our church thinks about those things. And then I would encourage you, again, our services will wrap up around 7 o'clock, and I would encourage you even after that to get together, and that's going to be a time that's prayer that's specifically directed by our church. Could you not get together with another family or two afterwards and say, hey, let's our families get together and let's pray about some specific things for our families. Let's pray for our kids. All right, let's pray for our college students. You know, get your church family together. And I would just encourage you even to make times of prayer together afterwards on those prayer nights. And then finally, we're going to finish up the summer with, we're just calling it a worship night. I'm waiting for Ben Dolly to get here so he can plan it. That's why it's a very short paragraph down there. Because it's going to be his job. But we're going to conclude the summer with a time we just get together. And you may call it a singspiration. We'll have some special music. We'll have other things that will go on that night. But just simply a night to reflect back over what God has done in our lives and to exalt Him and to glorify Him in a night of worship as we conclude our summer Sunday evenings. So it's my prayer, and it's been my desire as I've prayed and spent a fair amount of time working on this summer Sunday evening schedule, that our church be a place where people enjoy, where Sunday nights are something you look forward to coming back to, because there's going to be fellowship. There's going to be good teaching from God's Word. There's going to be things that meet the needs that you have as believers. But man, it could also be a great time to bring an unbeliever with you. Bring a neighbor, bring a coworker, and say, hey, come see what our church is all about. Come see on Sunday evening, we're just a big family. Come be a part of our family. What a great opportunity. And so this gives you just a little bit of a preview of what we're doing over the course of this summer. And it's my prayer that these Sunday evenings will be an encouragement to you, and that as the summer goes on, if you are in town, and again, I know there's vacations and other things, but if you're in town, that you'll make it your purpose and desire to be here, and then invite others to be a part of this with you. With that being said, let's have a word of prayer. We've got one final song that we want to sing as we conclude our service this evening, and then, hey, why not get started with fellowship even tonight as we wrap up our service? Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that in Acts we saw excitement. And as we read the pages of your word, we can feel it, that people were joyful, that people loved being together. They loved it so much that it was just a daily occurrence as they met and they worshiped you, as they studied the teachings that you shared with the apostles, as they met the needs of each other, as they prayed together. And Lord, I pray that our church would be a church that accomplishes those very same things. And that as we do that, we would find a unity and a joy here in our body that draws us back, not just on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings, but all throughout the week, that draws us together because of the unity that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask that this summer, you would be glorified in a special way in our lives and in Calvary Baptist Church, and here in our community of our Jerusalem, our Midland, that you would help other people to be added to the church, such as should be saved. God, we commit this summer to you and ask your blessing on it. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.